Beaver Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Betty Davis and James Stewart in June Bride. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. We're both proud and happy here in the Lux Radio Theater this evening. Proud because this is the opening of the most promising season we've ever had. And happy because we can sincerely welcome you back as old friends. In honor of this special occasion, we present two stars whose names carry the enchantment of great theater, Betty Davis and James Stewart. And they star in a comedy that has delighted screen audiences all over the country. It's the Warner Brothers hit, June Bride. Of course, a title like June Bride calls up thoughts of orange blossoms and romance. But modern brides must be homemakers, too. Here's the first act of June Bride, starring James Stewart as Carrie Jackson and Betty Davis as Linda Gilman. In the elaborate office building of the Allied Magazine Syndicate, three entire floors are devoted to the highly successful Home Life magazine. At the head of this minor empire is Home Life's efficient editor, Miss Linda Gilman.
May I come in, Madam Editor?
Carrie, it's you. You're back. Hello.
Oh, well, a great, big, enthusiastic hello to you, too. What? How've you been, Linda?
Reasonably well, considering I haven't had you around for the past 3 years.
That long, huh?
Yes, the last time I saw you, we had lunch at Marcel's. That was August 12th, 1946. We were supposed to dine at Caesar's, only you went to Berlin instead.
I might have known you'd remember.
By the way, our date is off, isn't it? When I didn't hear from you for 3 years, I leaped to that conclusion. You heal.
Oh, no. Don't be like that.
All right, anyway. Anyway, you're not really a heel. You just give that impression. What do you want?
Well, can't I stop in and say hello without being suspected?
Harry, you're being very charming, very reasonable, and very boyish. Unless you've changed, that means you're about to drink somebody's blood. Probably mine.
Look, I've just been up to see the boss. He fired me.
Really? And here I was thinking he couldn't read.
Oh, you're sweet. Now, anyhow, he hired me back again.
He can't read.
You know who my new editor is?
No, who?
You.
Oh, no. He wouldn't do that.
He's already done it. He signed me to the Home Life in America series.
Oh, well, my dad.
No, this isn't very flattering, you know. After all, I'm still pretty handy with a typewriter. I'm gay. I'm lovable. I've got nice teeth. What else do you want?
I'll be as tactful as possible, Carrie. I don't want you around.
Grudge nurser.
No, nothing personal. You're a fine fellow, but I won't have you on my magazine.
Why not?
You're a foreign correspondent, Carrie. You're used to exciting, important stories. The most exciting thing that happens to the people we write about is a $5 raise for Pa. You'd be utterly bored. You'd start making fun of them. It would not work out.
Well, at least couldn't we just talk about it? After all, I... Now, wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm going to dinner.
The date?
No.
Well, then have dinner with me. The one we missed 3 years ago.
I'm glad I didn't wait.
We can have dinner at Caesar's. They don't know my credit's no good.
Sounds frightfully expensive.
Sherwin's then. Only about $5 for the two of us. You can afford that much, can't you?
Now, look, Carrie.
What are you suspicious about? We'll have dinner. I'll take you home.
Early. It's a very busy day tomorrow. I'm going to Indiana.
Oh, yes, Indiana. My first assignment, huh?
You? Indiana? Don't be ridiculous. I had a lovely time, Carrie. Lovely, lovely. It was lovely.
Ah, lovely. Now let me in.
Have to get up early in the morning. Good night.
Good night. I can only stay for a minute. This is nice. Here we are, sort of picking things up just where we left off, you know?
You're picking nothing up. Not one single bygone is going to be a bygone as far as I'm concerned. Stop turning the lights out.
Look, now, if you're still sore about me walking out on you 3 years ago, I can explain.
I'm definitely not interested. Much.
You were pretty ambitious in those days, Linda.
I still am.
I knew exactly what you wanted, where you were going, how to get it.
I sound like a subway. Stop creeping up on me.
Well, anyway, that day I left you after we had lunch together, well, I started looking in store windows. Suddenly I had a terrible realization.
That you've forgotten to borrow a taxi fare from me?
No. No, I found myself looking at furniture, household furniture, bedroom suites, $2 down, 1,567 weeks to pay. For the first time in my life, I wanted to get married, and it bowled me over. I just stood there, paralyzed.
Then what?
I hopped the first plane for Germany. I just couldn't live the way you do. Tied down, everything all planned out. But even when I was making love to you, I sort of had a feeling that you were wondering what time it was.
That is not the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yes, I suppose you were terribly angry, and I'm sorry.
Oh, I've got over it.
Completely?
There's one thing that obviously never occurred to you, Carrie. I don't think I would have married you.
Well, Linda, I'm amazed.
You came back expecting to find a broken butterfly quivering in the void of your absence, didn't you?
Yes, Linda. Yes, that's right. Yes. This isn't at all what I expected. Furthermore, it's nicer this way. It's kind of like old times, isn't it? Just the two of us sitting here talking. We always did talk a lot. Yes.
We talked away everything that ever meant anything to us.
Not everything. Everything.
Carrie, now.
Ouch!
Ah, you're smooth and charming. You turn it on like hot water from a faucet. But I had measles once and now I'm immune. I always know what time it is now, Carrie. 11:20. I have to be up early.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, you dear gullible boy, you just struck out. Linda, now look, we know each other too well for all this. We still go for each other, and you know it.
I only know that you're very casual about these things, and I'm not. I'd wake up one morning and find you were in Afghanistan.
Linda. Linda. All right, I'll go. Quietly and sadly into the night went fun-loving Carrie Jackson. The schmo of the week. I almost forgot the job on your magazine. Do I get it?
Yes.
Goody.
On certain conditions, I'm editor. I'm running Home Life magazine. That means you'll have to take orders from me.
A pleasure, boss.
And you'll have to forget I'm a woman.
Well, I'll try. Linda Gilman is not a woman. Linda Gilman is not a woman. Here, have a cigar.
Thanks, I'll smoke it after breakfast. See you at the office, Carrie. This is Ed inside, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Grab a chair and I'll get started. Oh, morning, Carrie.
Good morning, sir.
You met everyone?
Oh, yes. And they all want to know how I got mixed up in the business like this.
What'd you tell them?
Oh, just lucky, I guess.
How nice. Now, as you know, our story concerns the Brinker family in Crestville, Indiana. Two young girls, usual number of parents.
Yeah, what's the old man do, Linda?
Well, Mr. Brinker owns a hardware store. The house, incidentally, is a museum piece. So is Mrs. Brinker. Paula, you have to put her on a diet.
Don't I always?
Just to satisfy my own curiosity, how did Home Life magazine happen to pick this particular family?
Well, the eldest daughter's being married anyway, and she happens to fit into our schedule. She's willing to be married right away for us. Oh, Paula, you'll see that their clothes are brought up to date, use light summery materials. And Rosemary, you'll make out the usual household budget and weekly menu and keep them simple. And Scotty, usual pictures.
What about me?
Well, this will be a 19-page feature, Carrie, about 5,000 words. We'll call it June Bride.
Isn't that a little daring?
Now, all of you remember this is a typical small-town family, and that they have to live with the house, the clothes, and the neighbors after we've gone. I've had the local carpenter, painter, and upholsterer working in the house for the past 2 weeks. Mrs. Brinker expects us tomorrow. She's going to bake a cake.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Very well. Remember, it's winter, and we have to do a June wedding in less than a week. Any questions?
No.
Fine, fine. That's all for now. Oh, Carrie.
Yeah?
You and I are flying out this afternoon.
We are?
4 feet of snow in Crestville. Better wear your longies.
I want to look here, Linda. Now, of all the corny...
Tell me all about it on the plane. We're leaving at 1:10.
Yes, sir.
At least I have a rough idea of what we'll do with the Brinker's house.
Well, I wish I had a rough idea of what I was going to use for a story.
You have your story, 19-year-old girl marries boy next door. It's America's Best.
You're really getting folksy, aren't you? Next thing you know, you'll be crocheting and putting up pickled cucumber pits.
Now, listen, you stop sneering in that superior way of yours at all the important things in life.
Who's sneering? Oh, let's see. There are 2 children in the family, huh? Jean, age 19. Boo, age 17. Boo?
Short for Barbara. Jean couldn't pronounce Barbara when they were babies. Called her Booba, and it stuck.
Uh-huh. Well, what are these Harveys like?
Well, Jean's very pretty, very.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Wipe off your chin, dear. The groom plays football. You can work it into the story.
Oh, what story? The only way I'll get a story is to have typical Mr. Brinker beat typical Mrs. Brinker to death with a typical meat axe. Be reasonable, Linda. I've got to find a gimmick.
You've got your gimmick, a June bride.
Maybe there's insanity in the family. You know, an uncle or something?
Now, listen, Carrie. I'm very serious about this. I won't stand for any hoax. You're going to write a straight young love story, no twists, no angles, and no drama.
I am.
And you're going to be nice to the Brinkers. No little jokes at their expense. Carrie, please be charming.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, here's the house. Oh, Carrie, one thing you have to learn about Indiana people. They don't talk a great deal unless it's important.
Well, I know why. They're afraid if they open their mouths, they'll freeze their teeth. I've never been so cold in my life.
Quiet. Quiet. Someone's coming.
Yeah, I hope it's a St. Bernard.
Yes?
Well, it is a St. Bernard. Well, my dear Mrs. Brinker, I would have known you anyway. It was very nice to see you. And how are the children, Miss Brinker? But wasn't I charming enough?
Oh, yes, dear. There was only one little thing the matter. That wasn't Mrs. Brinker.
Oh.
Hello.
It's human. I'll be right down. Don't kill anything.
Who was that?
It sounds like food. Come on, we'll wait in the living room. Ah! Now what?
This is the living room.
It's a purple horror, all right, so we'll do something with it.
Yeah, we set fire to it and have a place.
I won't be half bad when we get rid of some of the knickknacks and cut away the scroll work.
You mean to tell me you can do something with this funeral parlor?
You'd be surprised. Why the sardonic smirk?
No, I wasn't smirking. I'm just looking at you with new respect.
Why? Because I know my business.
Frankly, I thought you'd be out of place in Indiana. Now I can even imagine you churning a tub of butter.
How am I doing?
Well, your hair's in your eyes, but you look wonderful. Linda, the dining room
is in here. See that plate rack on the wall? You might dream of it.
How can you talk about plate racks when I'm feeling so affectionate?
You must be falling out.
Now, Linda, now, we're going to be here for a whole week, and I have what I think is a wonderful idea, and it starts out like this.
I have a better idea. Go to the hotel and take a nice cold shower.
Oh, I give up.
Oh, no, don't give up. Very interesting. Nobody makes love like that in Indiana.
Or anywhere else. Hello, Boo, dear. How nice to see you again. This is Carrie Jackson. I'll sit you right up.
Don't go too near him, Boo. He wants to do jiu-jitsu.
Mother and Jean will be right down. We didn't expect you so soon. Who is that St. Bernard?
That lady who let us in.
Oh, must have been Mrs. Lace from next door. She's helping us with the curtains. Daddy, they're here.
They are? Well, hello, folks.
This is Mr. Jackson, Father. He's awfully nice for an older man.
Yeah, just call me Gramps.
Well, I'm glad to know you, Mr. Jackson, I'm sure.
Well, here's Mrs. Brinker now.
Hello, Miss Gilman. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Mrs. Brinker, and hello, Jean. I'd like you both to meet our feature writer, Carrie Jackson. Carrie, Mrs. Brinker, and Jean.
Well, Mrs. Brinker, it's so nice to see you. I'd know you anywhere. I've heard so much about you. And this, of course, is Jean.
Hello.
Yes, you certainly are.
Oh, I think it's all terribly exciting. All you people coming all the way to Indiana just for my little old wedding.
Why, we wouldn't miss your little old wedding for a little old $1 million.
And I wish you'd tell us more about how you go about this kind of a story. You told me a lot the last time, Miss Gilman, but since then, the relatives... Well, I was wondering if we really should go through with
it. Oh, but Mrs. Brinker, you'll be famous, absolutely famous. Now, let's go upstairs and have a chat, shall we? I'd like to wash up.
Oh, we're all invited out for supper, Miss Gilman.
Some of the neighbors are giving a barn dance and sleigh ride.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I guess this is sort of an occasion. Are you a temperance man, Mr. Jackson?
Am I a temperance?
Mm-hmm.
Are you by any chance asking me if I'll have a drink?
I'll go get it. Have to keep it hid like I saw in the movies once. Mrs. Brinker's temperance.
Oh. Oh, it's all right, Bo. Come in.
Oh, I didn't think you saw me.
No, I'm glad I did. I want to talk to you.
Oh? What about?
Well, you. You're a very attractive young lady. You shouldn't let Jean push you out of sight the way she does.
That's smart.
Well, who am I to oppose the opinion of thousands? Those are pictures on the mantelpiece. Are they family?
Most of them.
Tell me, how are all your uncles?
Oh, fine. All except Uncle Harry. And we don't talk about him.
Oh? A little soft on the head, maybe?
Oh, no. He's a Democrat.
Oh, I see. Who's the boy on the photograph with you?
Oh, that's Bud.
The happy bridegroom, huh? Nice guy.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. I gather Boo likes Bud.
Uh-huh.
Does he know?
It wouldn't make any difference.
Oh, now you mustn't underestimate yourself.
No, I just haven't got sock.
What is sock?
Bounce.
Bounce. Oh, yes. Bounce. I see.
Well, I just haven't got any. And Jean has. He used to make Jim awfully mad.
Jim?
He's Bud's brother.
Well, why should he care?
My goodness, he and Jean were engaged once.
They were. Bud's brother and Jean. Well, what happened?
Well, Jean stayed in the Army after the war. He was stationed in Chicago. Well, he doesn't get home very often, and, well, I don't know. I guess Jean just likes attention.
I see. So Jean took up with Bud, leaving Jim out in the cold, and you, too. And the wedding's only a few days off, and you'll all live unhappily ever after. Boy, what an angle.
Angle?
What would happen if Jim came home before the wedding?
It would probably cause an awful lot of trouble.
It would?
But I'd like it.
You'd like it, and I'd have something to write about. Let me see. I could tell the public relations officer in Chicago to use the hallowed name of Home Life Magazine, get Jim ordered back here. Now, who's the public relations officer in Chicago? Lynn. Lynn, that's a Major Howard Lynn. He'd do it all right, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's call him right now, Mr. Jackson.
No, forget it.
But why?
That determined young lady upstairs would serve my head on a platter with an apple in my mouth.
Probably would cause an awful lot of trouble. But,
Mr. Jackson,
Papa and I are going to make some beautiful music.
You better cue a cold for an encore.
You better go upstairs.
I will. But first, I've got a phone call to make.
Operator.
I want to make a long-distance call. I want to speak to Major Howard Lee at the Army Base in Chicago.
One moment, please.
Oh, my God.